How can you achieve and maintain business growth? Harvard Business School Executive Education is now accepting applications for a new program, Driving Profitable Growth. Taking place in Boston from October 25th through the 28th, this program focuses on business expansion and organizational growth strategies that can lead your company into the future. Learn more about this three-day program for senior leaders by visiting hbs.me/growth. That's hbs.me/growth.
You are Locked On Celtics, your daily Celtics podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
I'm so hyped right now. Anything's possible.
Oh, my mama. Oh, my mama made it, ma. Anything's possible.
Rainy days, jump shot fade away. This the best Celtics podcast day to day, especially when the season get hectic. I stay waiting on it like receiving a Nets pick. Nothing like the terrible analysts on the TV. So in depth, you might even hear a story on Gigi. So in depth, they might do an hour about the D-League. So in depth, you probably should pay him, but it's a freebie. Yeah, John Corrales and Jay King, locked on, trying to get the 18th ring. So you can miss me with the blah blah. No more Geno time, we watching Jay do the Zaza. Millies.
Hey there, welcome back to the Locked On Celtics podcast. We are here on a daily basis, Monday through Friday. Thank you for downloading us and making us part of your daily routine. Today, that daily routine is a celebration of a 10-point Celtics win and another Isaiah Thomas fourth quarter show, where he goes off for, what did he have tonight, 35 points, but in the fourth quarter, he went off for, 17 points that he had in the fourth quarter? Yeah, not a big deal, just another 17-point fourth quarter. Isaiah Thomas now averaging over 10 points per game in the fourth quarter, and so here we are, me, John Corrales, and along with Sam Packard, just gushing about IT doing crazy IT things again.
Well, I am speechless. I'm without speech. Like, there's only so many things you can say and just so many kind of great accolades and superlatives you can launch at this guy. But each night he comes out and just continues to do it. Averaging 10 points in the fourth quarter is something no one has done in the past 20 years of basketball. It just doesn't make sense anymore. It's just, I have all this extensive page of notes from quarters 1 through 3 where I like try to like really analyze the trends and the substitution patterns. And then in the fourth quarter comes and it's just, yep, Isaiah shows on. It's just, yep, like eyes glued to the TV. It's amazing. I've never seen anything like it.
It blows your mind. And I don't want to turn this into another gush fest over just what he's done and what he continues to do. I will pat myself on the back and continue to say that putting him third in the MVP running is looking really good after he keeps doing stuff like this. So, which if you haven't heard that, if you're new to the show, go download yesterday's show because Jay and I went off on a whole big thing. But, all right. So, Isaiah, you know, look, we watch him through three quarters, and he was fine. He was through three quarters. He did a very nice job. He was he scored 18 points. He shot 7 of 15, 4 of 10 from 3. So you got a guy that's shooting over 45% from the field, 40% from 3. He had 4 assists, 4 rebounds, and 18 points. That's a nice game. He's on his way to scoring in the mid-20s and having a really, really nice game. To go off in the fourth quarter and hit shots, I don't know what gets into his head. And this is the amazing thing. How does a guy suddenly hit 7 of 10 shots? How does he suddenly hit 3 of 5 from 3?
How does the defense let him get those shots? Like, no, they know he just, reputation.
It doesn't matter. You see, what was it? Who do you have? Cody Zeller on the sideline, where he just shook him. The Celtics have this ability to throw so many guys out on the floor that you have to respect. So when you put him out there with, you know, Olynyk and Crowder and those guys, Horford, those are all guys you have to stay with. You can't just leave them.
So Isaiah, yeah, you can double team him all you want. Now, another guy who can play really well will get opportunities to score. And you want to give Al Horford uncontested shots all fourth quarter? Sure, go ahead. I'll take that, because then Al Horford's going to have a huge fourth quarter, and now the next team's going to be like, well, shit, that doesn't work. So it just they have the right mix of people for Isaiah, but in quarters one through three, for some reason, he takes a lot of the same shots. He's not taking crazier shots. They just fall. He just hits them. I don't understand that mentality. All of a sudden in the fourth quarter, does his follow through get better? Does he, what happens? I don't get it. It just, the shots fall and I'm completely at a loss. So
all the like analytical thinker, like just statistical kind of side of my brain is thinking there's no such thing as clutchness. There's no such thing as momentum. Like, everyone's gone to Sloan Conference. They've done the studies. It's not borne out. But then the eye test just says, this guy gets better when it matters in the fourth quarter. And I definitely think part of it, he's a lot more aggressive in the fourth quarter because he knows it's his time to shine. It felt like earlier on, especially to start the game, he was doing more to try and get his teammates involved. He only ended up with four assists tonight, which was lower than I thought it would. But I thought he did, like, especially in the pick and roll, had a number of good passes. So maybe it's just kind of, it's part strategic, is that teams know they come in that they have to stop Isaiah Thomas. And at the start of the game, he, like a good point guard, he has to get his teammates involved and get them touches, because that's how they play well. So when it's time for the fourth quarter, they're feeling it and they're ready to hit the shot if he does end up passing it to them. So it seems like a very strategic kind of motive for Isaiah Thomas, but it doesn't make sense why he can continue, why he's averaging 10 points in the fourth quarter. It's nonsensical.
Yeah, I would love to have an extended conversation with Isaiah about this. It's just beyond comprehension. But there might be something to the thought that, like, I was starting to make this point last night in the show. Maybe he's setting people up. Maybe the first through third quarters are one big setup where the passes and the shots that he's taking, and he's just setting everybody up for the fourth quarter where they don't know exactly what he's going to do. So whatever it is, I really would like to have a half-hour conversation. You sit down, maybe longer, where you sit down with him and just kind of break it down. What are you thinking? What are you doing from the moment you step on the floor, when you get to that fourth quarter, and you sit there and you say, you point to your wrist and you say, you know what time it is. What is it about that moment? And don't give me the big players, you know, rise up. There's more to that. There's more. And maybe it is some guys get nervous. Maybe some guys press a little bit more and they get a little bit tight, and he somehow calms down in that situation when it's that fourth quarter and he feels like that's his time. Maybe he just calms down to a point where he elevates his game. I don't know. I know that when you're playing basketball and you are just calm and happy, good shit happens. That's when you find yourself in zones. So that calm, happy place, maybe he's just at times like the fourth quarter. Maybe that's just as simple as that. He's just calm and happy, and it's Isaiah time.
I've never been good enough at basketball to find myself in a zone like Isaiah's in a zone.
But nobody, like, I've played a lot of basketball in my life. I've had some stretches where I hit a few shots in a row, but nobody gets into zones like Isaiah Thomas does. So I don't want to make that comparison, but there is something to be said about calming down and slowing down and finding yourself in that spot. So, all right, that was, we got that out of our system.
The necessary Isaiah gushing after a performance like this.
It's
Let's talk about the rest of
Isaiah. We don't wait till the fourth quarter to talk about this. We just get it out of the way right away. So let's talk about other things that propelled the Celtics to a 108-98 win over the Charlotte Hornets. The first thing that comes to my mind is Kelly Olynyk, who didn't have, you know, Al Horford had a quiet, awesome game, but Olynyk had this off the bench, had his second straight really, really great game, coming off the bench and giving the Celtics a spark. 15 points, 9 rebounds, 4 assists, 6 of 9 from the field, 2 of 2 from 3. Just another great night for Olynyk, who seems to be either A, figuring it out, or B, finally feeling comfortable after that shoulder surgery and now starting to round into form.
It feels like everything's coming together for him, just in terms of his confidence. And I don't know if it's injury related or like role related, but just making the right decisions, not hesitating on the shot, where like not throwing the pump fake every time. He still throws it probably 70% of the time, but when he's truly open, he's not afraid to grip it and rip it. We actually saw the pump fake work tonight for a little dipsy do in the lane and underhanded layup. He's just making a good plays, and he's playing consistent defense. And I thought he did a lot of nice jobs kind of playing off Al Horford. I remember a couple times Horford found him right underneath the basket. He's getting in good position. He's done a really good job off the bench, and it's the exact reason why we thought, or why I think we both thought, that he would end up being the starter. But at this point, it doesn't really matter. If he can come in the bench and give him 26 minutes of very good basketball like this, it's one of the reasons why I think contributing, why Isaiah Thomas can be such a performer. If you surround him with shooters and people who space the floor like Olynyk, it's going to lead to good things. And he's just, past week has just turned in a lot of great performances. It's good to see, especially when the Celtics are getting their starters are back with Avery Bradley, who we can talk about later, did not have the best night. But their bench depth just gets that much better when you can like run out Olynyk and Smart off the bench. He's been great. And I don't know, I've just been amazed by what kind of his just decision-making and his playmaking.
Yeah. Olynyk, here's something that now we're going to revisit, because there was a stretch over the summer where I feel like we all were in agreement that Kelly Olynyk was probably going to end up being a starter for the Celtics. And then we kind of shifted our thinking. Like, we saw him coming off the bench, we said, you know what, that's actually a pretty good idea, because they're going to need that scoring off the bench. And then I see some people tweeting today that come playoff time, wouldn't be surprising if Olynyk is starter, assuming he's still on the team, because trade deadline could blow up all of this stuff. But Olynyk, 26 minutes tonight. Amir Johnson, 21 minutes. Johnson's his plantar fasciitis issues are very well documented, and he's had an ankle issue recently. Olynyk started the last game in the second half. He came in very quickly in the second half in this game. So maybe at some point, does Kelly Olynyk, if he continues, I don't want to overreact, but the ability to go five out and put shooters at every position in the playoffs when things slow down and you need to spread the floor, especially in the half court, does starting Olynyk, are we going down that road where we're going to start Kelly Olynyk?
Let me do my best Jay King impression. There's no need to change the starters. Have you seen their lineups? Their net rating is amazing. They're scoring at an amazing pace.
I mean, I appreciate the effort there. That was a pretty bad.
Oh, it was an absolutely atrocious Jay King impression, because I realized immediately once I started that I had nothing. The point is that Jay King would bring up the fact that the starters have a very good net rating. I think the way they have it now, with basically Amir Johnson doesn't play in the second half, and if his ankles can only give you 20 minutes a game, maybe it's the first 20 minutes and you're not going to want to rely on him to close. But at this point, I'm not really seeing the need to change it. The argument about in the playoffs is intriguing, but I don't think it's absolutely necessary. Definitely with teams that kind of have a stretch four, as we saw when they played the Houston Rockets, Jerebko started for Amir Johnson. I would expect to see Olynyk starting there. But I think if you can only get 20 minutes out of Amir Johnson at this point, start him, have him play the first half, that his normal kind of 18 minutes in the first half, and then let Olynyk take over. It doesn't matter who starts the games, who ends the game, for the old cliche. So I don't know. It's definitely something to consider, but I don't see – the Celtics have won 13 of their last 16, so I don't see the need for a drastic change, but it's definitely something to consider.
Yeah, you know, it's just the thing that I figured I'd throw out there. We're in the middle of January, like literally the middle of January. We're at the halfway point. This was the officially 41st game of the season. So let's look at the standings. They're a game and a half out of the second seed at 26-15. The Hawks are a couple of games back after their comeback win against the Knicks today, which, God, the Knicks are just so horrible. Let me just, as an aside, man, I enjoy it, but oh, geez, man, they are a mess. So the Celtics right there firmly in third place. Probably, you know, as I've been saying, look, Cleveland is clearly number one. Toronto, as at this point, is clearly number two. Boston's the clear number three. And then after that, Atlanta, Washington, Indiana, Chicago, Milwaukee, they're all fighting it out. Milwaukee is a little bit of a surprise at 500 just because Giannis has been such a great storyline, but they've got their problems. Anyway.
They lost to the Sixers today.
Yeah, so there's that. They're so up and down, inconsistent. Charlotte, now with the loss today, drops out of the playoff picture as of right now at the halfway point. Detroit, just very disappointing. All of those teams, though, even though Detroit's 19-24, I don't think Atlanta is markedly better than the Detroit Pistons. They're all just kind of in that mix. If Detroit suddenly went on a run and Atlanta fell out of the playoff picture, I wouldn't be shocked. None of it would shock me with that group after that. Everybody's kind of in the same boat. So anyway.
Let me ask you a question about kind of the second half of the season. Last year we saw after this many games, the Celtics are 21-20 and they still ended up, what was it, with 48 wins last season?
Yeah.
It feels like the Brad Stevens teams, at least with the couple years he's been here, have gotten better as the year goes on. So do you see this team kind of repeating the 26-15 or maybe getting even better, approaching the high 50s in wins? Because it feels like with Stevens, he's the type of guy who keeps retorquing the lineup, keeps tinkering, and the team continues to get better. We saw it last year as the defense was great, and then the offense kind of got back to it. So if they could ever figure out the defense, you could really see this team doing something special and not just going for that 50 win total, but really going to mid-high 50s, because that's something we've seen the Brad Stevens Celtics teams do in the past. So, I mean, it's going to be hard to do better than what they're 13-3 in their last 16 games, but it's something to keep an eye on, and it's potentially that they could pass the Raptors. They may not be able to at this point beat the Raptors head-to-head, but just in terms of that record, they're going to continue to be putting the pressure on them.
Yeah, look, I think the Celtics can go on. Well, look, this run right now is not going to be sustainable for the rest of the season. They're not going to go on this kind of run. But I think they can kind of keep something close to this up. I think they're going to beat most of the teams at or below them in the standings, and they'll have some trouble with the Torontos and the upper echelon teams. I think this is the Celtics team right now that we're going to see, and we've gotten a pretty good sense of the rotation. This is the Celtics team that we're going to know moving forward. We know we have enough data to see that Jay Crowder is a pretty good three-point shooter. Maybe he'll drop a little bit, but he's gotten himself up to a really, really good three-point shooter. So we know Al Horford is going to do a little bit of everything. We know Avery Bradley has, and even though he had a bad game tonight, he's going to be what he's been offensively. Like, this is what we've seen. That's not going to go away at this point. Now, what can catch up? What can come together? Something like Kelly Olynyk. If Kelly Olynyk can kind of keep this moving forward, if he can keep this up, now you got something. If Marcus Smart can kind of get his whole game together, not a big numbers night, but he had a big positive impact, I felt like. If Jaylen Brown can start doing more positive things, and then you start mixing in the Gerald Green every once in a while having a big game, Jarebko every once in a while having a big game, we're starting to see the semblance, what this team is going to be in March, April, May. So, yeah, I think that this team can get into the low 50s for when it's all said and done. So, like I said, right now they are 26-15 at the halfway point. So that's a 52-win team. Yeah, I think they can sustain that. I think they can be, 52, 53, 54 wins. That's definitely possible. You look at the beginning of the season, and they had all these injuries, and they were just kind of treading water. And then they didn't have Isaiah for a little bit, and they went in a slump. If they can stay healthy, then things will level off, and they'll just kind of be at this pace for the rest of the year.
Yeah, no, this definitely feels like something is sustainable, and that's easy to say after a great run. But when they're healthy, they've shown that they're very, very good team. And something I tweeted earlier in the game, it feels like they have a great rotation right now, like one through what I call it, 7.5. It feels like they have the starters and then Olynyk and Smart, and then they sometimes get a good performance out of Jarebko or Gerald Green or Jaylen Brown. And if they can just get that someone else to be more consistent and give a good performance every single night, it feels like they're really kind of ready to compete. But right now, you don't really know what's going to happen. Sometimes you're going to get a bad Gerald Green game. Sometimes you're going to get a good Jaylen Brown game. But that kind of eighth spot is not consistent. But we saw tonight that Jaylen Brown had a very good sequence out at the end of the quarter there, scoring 4 points on, sir, I think 5 points on some acrobatic layups. But then later in the game, he had some dumb fouls and classic Jaylen Brown type stuff. So if they can ever get that, like, that kind of eighth guy to just be that consistent performance who's good on defense, I think I'm a Celtics optimist, but I think they could get over 55, maybe 56, 57 wins just because they're putting it together and just only getting better.
That's a big number. That's a big number.
Look,
maybe. Again, they're on a pace for 52. So if they improve a little bit, that's 54, 55 wins. So 56 is a little bit optimistic. I think 52 to 54 is pretty good. And look, that's a damn good record. That's a damn good record. If you said right now, sign me up for 52 wins, I'd take 52 wins. That gets you at least the third seed in the East. There's no way the Hawks or anybody else in the East, aside from Cleveland and Toronto, are getting more than 50 wins, right? Do you see the Hawks winning 50 games?
No, the rest of the East is kind of just muddled garbage at this point, and there's no indication that anyone would make a run, because anytime a team has a good run, like the Hawks had a good run, then they lost a couple games. The Wizards played well, but no one's really putting together runs that would make you think that they're going to kind of skyrocket in the East or really pressure the Celtics for the third seed.
No. I mean, we're saying this as the Hawks have won 9 of their last 10, their loss coming to the Celtics. But I just don't see that. I just don't see that carrying on. Especially, they are going to trade Millsap. I think they're definitely going to trade Millsap. All this, we're not shopping him anymore. I think that's crap. I think that was a smokescreen. I think they're definitely going to trade Millsap, and then everything just kind of goes away. Unless they really are fooling themselves and they're happy being in the middle of the pack again. So, anyway.
I think they made the mistake with letting Horford go for nothing, that they cannot repeat that again with Millsap.
No, I agree. I agree that they have to understand. It's tough. Coming to this realization, it's very tough. And it takes a cold, calculating type of person to do this. And as much as I've shit all over Sam Hinkie, I will say that at the beginning I was on board with what he was doing. He came to a realization and he just made a cold, hard calculation and said, we're not good enough to be a championship team. We're good. We're doing okay. But doing okay isn't good enough. So doing okay is fine for, like, the Sacramento Kings. When you've sucked for a long time, your fans want you to do something, that's when you fall into the trap of being okay. The problem with Philly is that they just took it too far. That's where I started to have problems with them.
Hey, the process is bearing fruit right now. They've won something like 5 of their last 6. I made the incredibly bold and probably outright insane prediction today that they were going to get the 8 seed. But now I'm looking at the standings, and they're 13-26. But they have Ben Simmons coming back, and Joel Embiid's playing out of his mind. The process, it makes sense. It's like that's what you like. The NBA middle class is not a place where you want to be, because then you end up kind of like where the Hawks are, where the Pacers are, where the Wizards are right now. It's just, sure, what's the first round exit going to be? That's why Danny Ainge has been talking about superstars this entire time. You need to find a superstar, and once you realize your team's at that mediocre level, you got to blow it up. So, yeah, I don't see any of these 4 through kind of 10 teams. They're in that NBA middle class, and there's no reason that they would make a jump.
So, anyway, I think that puts the Hawks in a position where they should trade Millsap and get what they can and just start over. Look, I think Indiana, Washington, Chicago, well, Chicago's another story, are all in that boat. Milwaukee is up and coming. Once they get Middleton back, you know, Giannis is having obviously a breakout year. He's only 22. So they have a nice little nucleus. Jabari Parker is, you know, figuring things out. They've got a nice team. So they're like the only other team below Boston. You look at them and you're just like, they're on their way up. That's it. So, all right. What else from this game? I think Avery Bradley coming back off of the Achilles thing. He had a bad game. I'm going to completely dismiss this game. He still was a plus 12. He defended pretty well. He hit a couple of shots. He hit that nice baseline jumper late, which was a key bucket.
Like, he never had, like, didn't touch a basketball at all during his injury, because he just threw some classic Avery Bradley dumb passes and looked really extremely rusty. But the plus 12 as well, and you're just like, take it with a grain of salt, because you know Avery Bradley's going to get better. But so I likewise do not really lend too much to that performance. But it's nice to see him back, just because it adds kind of Marcus Smart coming off the bench and just adds to the kind of quality players on the court. I thought Smart didn't have the greatest stat line, 2 points, 4 rebounds, or 5 rebounds, 4 assists. He had 2 steals. He had that incredible hustle play. It's just
Wow. Classic
Marcus Smart making winning plays.
It was an awesome play. That was an awesome play. And, you know, for a guy that scored 2 points, still on the plus side, a plus one, so just shows that he can make an impact. And Brad Stevens said recently that Marcus could miss all of his shots. Doesn't matter. He finds ways to have a positive impact on the games. So that play was awesome, and that shows why Brad Stevens said that. So nice effort there from Marcus. Al Horford had an awesome game. There's low key 22, 6, 4 assists, you know, only a couple of turnovers. And, you know,
you
want to
know why it was low key? Because he did it with post moves in the old school big man NBA style. It's just,
yes.
It's not sexy, but if they're going to put Frank Kaminsky and Cody Zeller on him in the post, he's going to like cook them. And it was just very good, fundamental, back-to-the-basket basketball. He also hit some nice, like, mid-range jump shots. It was a great just game from Al Horford, just being just a basic dude. And that's exactly what we need him to do. If he's going to chip in 22 points a game, and I think the Hornets are a pretty good matchup for the Celtics, because they do not really have any bigs that are of any quality. He's going up against Zeller and Spencer Hawes and Frank Kaminsky, but that's it. He's did that repeatedly. He got good post positions, and it actually, during the Isaiah scoring flurry in the fourth quarter, there was a couple Horford baskets in there. There was just kind of kept the Hornets honest, and it was a great performance from Horford. I love seeing that type of thing, because sometimes at some point, those Isaiah baskets are not going to continue falling at the rate that they are. So if you're going to have some sort of backup offense, I like Horford being that second option.
Yep. I agree. Nice game from him. And yeah, he's good enough to take advantage of those guys. And good for the Celtics to recognize the mismatch. I think the Celtics are really good at taking advantage of mismatches. Sometimes you see teams that if they catch a switch or one of those cross matches in transition, they don't always go to it. They don't always do a great job of taking advantage of it. I think the Celtics have done a really good job of finding these mismatches and taking advantage of them. Even things like Marcus Smart in the post, which happened a few times today. He scored once on it, but those things matter. Even if you don't score, just being the threat is important. So when the Celtics have Al Horford on bigs that shouldn't be able to check him, they find him. They find him there, and he takes advantage of it. And I remember one possession, I want to say it was in the third quarter, where they got Al Horford on the post. I forget against who, but it was a clear mismatch, and the ball was swinging around, and you started to see everybody just like calling for it to go back the other way, and Kelly Olynyk got it at the top and immediately, without hesitation, dropped it into Al in the post, and he went off and scored. One dribble, boom, turn, score. That recognition is really great and important, because when you have those matchups, those are where you start to build leads. Cross matches happen. Guys switch on defense, or somebody scores, or somebody, you know, you see guys pointing down the floor and saying, pick up my guy. If you get Al Horford on a smaller guy, that's only going to exist for a short time before the defense figures out a way to switch guys back onto Horford, a bigger guy back on a Horford. The Celtics did a great job of recognizing when it was, when they had that opportunity, and they went to it. So I think the Celtics do a good job of doing that. It's not the first time they've done it, and they've been doing it all season, I think.
Well, I think it's got a lot to do with the ball movement, which I thought they were doing excellently tonight, just pinging the ball from side to side. And so they were very quick to pounce on those opportunities. I thought that was a very good point you made there. It's just because they seem to have a lot of great awareness on offense, and when the ball's kind of going from side to side like that, they can immediately jump on kind of that mismatch opportunity, and it seems like every single player on the court is looking for it and is aware of it. One last thing that I'm just looking at my notes here is Horford's vision and kind of patience when he's in the post right that or facing up is amazing. There's this one play where he kind of just held the ball, kind of got his bearings for 3 or 4 seconds, did some dribbling, looked around, and it's a sling to pass across the court to Crowder, who knocked down an open three. But it's just, he was just waiting for the play to develop. And it goes back to something we've talked about last week of just slowing down to speed up. It's just kind of getting those. By the way, I really like that phrase. I've been trying to use it in my own pickup game.
Seriously, that's one of my favorite pieces of advice I've ever gotten.
No, it's perfect. But it's exactly what Al Horford is very good at. His patience is kind of, he knows when the right moment to attack is, and he lets the play develop, and it's not rushed. But it's very amazing to see his vision and his decision making like that. I mean, he might not be putting up the numbers, but he's definitely just been worth the max contract. He's been an amazing, and I think he's one of the major reasons why Isaiah has been able to do all these things, just because he's a second option. He spaces the floor, but I have nothing but good things to say about
him. Oh, of course. Absolutely. He had that nice pass to Olynyk down the lane, where and Olynyk finished it very nicely. But yeah, Horford does that. Another 4 assists. He's having a fantastic season. Passing the ball, he's great. And anybody that looks at what Horford's been doing and doesn't appreciate what he's given to the Celtics, I'm sorry, I can't help you. He's been fantastic. Quickly before we go, just to mention, I want to be better at mentioning the people who hashtag us Rain and Jays on Twitter. Our boy Rifesy, remember back in November when the Celtics were a 500 team, and then Rain and Jays said, "Wait until they're healthy, and we'll see what we got." So, yeah, I'll take this opportunity to pat ourselves in the back, where this healthy Celtics team is clearly much better than that 500 Celtics team that was struggling and everybody's getting all crazy. Like, oh, God, we got to blow it up. Like, chill. So, great. Our boy Mike Dinan, Reds Army's own Mike Dinan. Isaiah Thomas is walking a fine line between hero ball and you got to be kidding me. But no one can argue with the results. Yeah, sometimes, you know, Isaiah, I guess when you get into the zone like he's in, maybe a couple of those shots aren't the best shots in the world, but dude's just drilling them. What can you say?
Yeah, he definitely takes some questionable shots in the fourth quarter, but if he's making them, let him keep taking them. Like, what are you going to do? You can't complain.
And at Young Josiden, we addressed this earlier, but since you brought it up, should Olynyk start or at least get more minutes? He's been great recently. Just to finish out our conversation on that, we'll see. We'll see about that. I'm all for more minutes for anybody who's being that productive. I'm hoping that this is a function of him feeling better about his shoulder. And I wrote about this on Reds Army on Sunday morning where Avery Bradley coming off the shoulder injury was told by then assistant coach Tyronn Lue that he was going to struggle coming off the shoulder surgery. And Olynyk had those same struggles. I'm hoping this is him just being more comfortable. And I think when you're being more aggressive, like he's been more aggressive recently, that's a sign of being more comfortable. And a lack of aggression is just questioning yourself. So hopefully that's what this is. So maybe he should start. Maybe he'll start starting, or maybe Brad will start starting him in the second half. And that's like Sam, you said, maybe this is a function of Olynyk coming on and Amir Johnson's ankle is only giving you so much time. So you use Amir at the start and Olynyk at the end, and that's just going to be how it goes. Who knows?
Yeah, no, I think you summed it up perfectly. I just want to mention one thing before we go. If any Celtics fan didn't get a chance to see Jaylen Brown talk about Martin Luther King Day before the game, it was just impressive to see a 19-year-old be able to kind of speak that eloquently about MLK, especially on as we celebrate Martin Luther King Jr. Day. I suggest you watch it out. Go watch it. I'm sure the Celtics will have it on any of their social media, so I'll definitely retweet it if I see it. But it was just impressive to see a guy talk about it so young in front of that many people. I'm not sure if he's a great public speaker, but it was great to see, and I thought it was a nice moment before the game.
Yep, good stuff, good message, and a message that I think, as I said yesterday, needs to be reiterated and practiced, and yeah, I loved it. I thought he was great. He's great. He's such a smart kid. So, it's so weird to say kid, but he is. He's basically a kid. An athletic as hell kid, but man. Anyway, all right. Great game for the Celtics. They win by 10. Isaiah Thomas, 17 points in the fourth quarter, 35 points in the game. Just another Isaiah game. Celtics move on to 26-15 at the halfway point of the season. They have played 41 games. They are on a pace to win 52. Not bad. Not bad at all. And if this defense can get its act together, which it did, by the way, before, I want to say, they gave up 30 points in that first quarter. They still held Charlotte to under 100. So just a shout out to that. That's a big accomplishment. When you're on pace to give up 120, you held them to 98. So who knows? We'll see where it goes. But Celtics win. Next game is Wednesday against the Knicks. Hopefully we can crush their souls again. And then Saturday against the Trailblazers, that'll be fun. That's a weird time, 5 o'clock on a Saturday. But I'll be in the house for that. Come say hi if you're at the game. That's the show. Thanks for listening, everybody. We are the Locked On Celtics podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network.